AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's rubrik.com.
All right, now you've got Angry Stretch here for the bonus pod. I was about halfway through the show, and the piece of shit microphone I'm using, I touched it, and it turned off because it's got a short in the wire. It's brand new, by the way. It's a Bluebird, too, which it should be good, but it's not. And it cuts the recording, and this crap software I'm using, because I haven't upgraded to all the good studio stuff yet, won't let you pick up recording. So I didn't want to do two separate shows, so I'm starting over, and I am not happy about it. I want to punch somebody in the nuts. Kind of like life punches me in the nuts, like on a repeat basis. God, I did a really good rant on the show that you'll never hear. And I was talking about how the last 4 years have been the most stressful 4 years of my life. And I know a lot of people, when their kid, especially their youngest, and the youngest, it's a daughter, they graduate college, they'll cry, and they're so proud. And I am proud. But I have to tell you, I sat at that graduation last weekend, and I seriously was just like, she's going to walk and I'm done. She's going to walk. She's going to get her diploma and I'm done. I'm done. The monkey's off my back. The relief, the giant monkey that got off my back. And this was not a monkey. This was a gorilla that was on my back, and it had me in a chokehold because, I don't know if I've broken this down ever. Not on this pod. I know I did at some point. Let's see, 4 years ago, I quit my job, which is the job I have now, and I love that job, and I love my boss, and I love some of my coworkers, and I just like working there. It's just a cool place to work, and I'm so grateful to be somewhere like that after working and going through such shit and being treated like shit so many places for so long. In radio, you were treated like absolute garbage at all times. You were treated like garbage. And the coworkers all have ego and attitude. And I've worked with some of the worst human beings on the planet for a very long time. And so when I found this place finally, and then I went to rehab, and I liked working in rehab after that was really my first job after radio. I drove for a little bit. I worked at UPS and then I worked at Warner Brothers, but I hated the unions. That's not my stuff. I'm sorry, if you're a union, and I know you get paid a lot because you're in a union, and that's cool. Shout out to you for that. But you're lazy. You're clock-milking lazy pieces of shit. I've worked in two unions, and I had to quit because I found the human beings in there that don't work at my level. And I don't want to work with people that aren't trying to work hard and trying to do the best that they can at all times. They're trying to milk the clock. That's my opinion from the unions I was in. But I mean that from the bottom of my heart. So I went to work at rehab, and that was an interesting time. That was right after my oldest brother had died from addiction, life of addiction. And I just fell into that job. I didn't think, oh, I'm going to go work there. My brother died. I'm going to go work there. I found it, and I was so happy I found it because I learned so much about what a shitty family I have in the sense of for an addict. My parents, my mother and father do not drink alcohol, do not do drugs at all, period. They're hardline, no F around people. And then they have, my dad has three sons who did everything under the sun. And then my nephew had overdosed and died, which was my brother's son. And then my brother, a few years later, goes out as well. And then I went there and I just learned so much about addiction. I was so grateful for that job and I liked that job. The pay wasn't good, but I was just trying to move on from radio at that point. And I really took it to where you would get attached to these people and I'm sorry, if you've got someone going in and out of rehab, someone in your life, there's a good chance they're going to die. And there's nothing you can do about it. And that's the worst news you'll ever want to hear, but there's nothing you can do about it. The addict or the alcoholic, whatever they are, has to want to be sober. And it's the hardest thing they'll ever do in their life. And they fail. And it's like anything. Like right now, I'm really working hard on being a good Christian. I really am. I work very hard at it. And every day I fail. Addiction's the same way. You fail. I'll do something and I'll be, I should have done that. But there's life, your life hanging in balance when you're dealing with addiction. And I really believe we were helping people and trying to help people. And you would meet these people, and they're wonderful people. They're people just, they're like your family members, people like some of you, people like me, people that I got along with that were great people. And then they would check out, and then a week later they would call back and be like, hey, remember Steve who was here last week? Yeah, he died. He just relapsed and died. And a lot of that, if you don't know, I'm going to drop more addiction knowledge on you. If you don't know, a lot of overdoses on people who have just come out of treatment are because, remember I told the funny story of how sick I was last week because I took my Ozempic back at the fat man dose that I'd been taking after not taking it for a few months. And then I was like, oh no, my A1C is high. I better take my Ozempic. So I took it and then it almost killed me. It made me really, really sick. Well, that's what happens. The human, and what's crazy is I know better. I, of anyone from my experience in rehab, I know better. 30 days, in 30 days, your body can do the most amazing things. And people who are taking enough heroin to kill an elephant because their tolerance is so high, in 30 days are back to being normal. 30 days. So they go through rehab, they go through the program, and then they relapse and they're like, you know what? I really want to do some heroin or whatever it is. I really want to do some oxy. And then they relapse and they immediately, being the drug expert they are, take what they were taking before they went to rehab and their body can't handle it anymore and they die. And it happens a lot. And it rips your freaking heart out. Because you see, if you've been through it with your family, you know what the family's going through. You had an attachment to this person. You don't want to see a person die. I don't deal with death very well anyways. And it was too much. It became sad because there was people who were always dying. And I liked these people. People that you were attached to, people you didn't like died too. And that's not as hard. And that's shameful of me as a Christian to say, but it's true. Some people are hard to love. And those people, when they die, you're like, oh, well, that guy was an a-hole. But then there's people you're like, oh my God, I love that guy. That guy was a freaking great dude. And they're dead because they relapsed after being in rehab and they got out and they overdosed. So, lo and behold, I find, while I'm working in rehab, I find the job that I have now, which I like. I love my job. I love where I work. I love my people. And I really like that job. And we were right at that time. My daughter graduated high school. She was applying to colleges all over. And we told her, wherever you get in, wherever you want to go, you can go, whatever you want to do. And she had volleyball scholarship opportunities that she didn't want to do because she didn't want to play at those schools. She was incredibly particular where she wanted to go. And LMU is where she wanted to go. That was her school. That was where my daughter wanted to go to school. And we're like, well, if they accept you, you can go there. Well, MF if they didn't accept her. And then right at that same time, my wife had lost her job. I remember she was still in radio or not at that point. She was doing something and they had a big layoff and she got laid off. And I remember praying. This is, I'm going to tie everything together for you. This is where I came into my faith so strong in this moment in time. I prayed and prayed, God, let me figure this out. I've got to be able to do this. I can't do this to this kid. This kid went to private school her whole life. We've always told her, work hard and you'll get where you want to go. She's got where she wants to go. And then we're going to say, sorry, we can't afford it. And I'm not kidding. I was sitting at my job and my phone got a weird email about job postings. And I looked down and I was doing security at the job that I work at now. And there was a job that was, in essence, security. It was a public safety officer at LMU. There's a thing about these private universities. If it's a private university, which LMU is, it's a Jesuit Catholic school. If you work there, your kids go for free. Not for a discount. They go for free. And I'm like, wow. And I literally was on my knees at my desk praying. And I get this email. And I respond. And they call me back within an hour. And they're like, can you come in for an interview? I'm like, yeah. Long story short, I get the job. I quit the job that I love to go work at LMU. LMU was, it was cool. It was much like working in a police department. It was very campus police, basically is what it is. And it was very police-like. I didn't like it. I loved the job. There was a lot of stuff I didn't like, and it's like a military structure in a police department. And some of the people were running were DEI hires that I did not like, who were idiots. And I don't do well working with people who are stupid. And I had a couple of those. So I hated that job. And I hated that job from the second I got there. I hated it. And after 2 years, and know this too, I took that job. So I was going to, all right, cool. I'm going to get her through. I'll work there for 4 years and I'll get her through. I'll just grin and bear it. Well, that job paid nothing. It paid less than half of what I make right now at my job I have now. So I quit a job to take a more than 50% pay cut. And it was like, it's worth it because the amount of money we were going to save, and it's the only way she was going to get to go there. And she got there, and those prayers were answered. And then it works out a couple years later that I told my wife, yeah, I can't handle this anymore. I can't work here anymore. I have to quit. I'm going to lose my mind. And my wife's like, no. And then it all worked out. So it worked out, and the monkey was on my back though. And throughout that time, I had to pay all of my own bills, making half of the money I made. I went into huge credit card debt, just trying to stay afloat and do what I had to do. And it was the most strenuous 4 years of my life. Add to that, I launched the radio station in the middle of that, the Big 49. I worked 7 days a week for 3 years. And you've heard me talk about it here. You're probably sick of it, but that's what I did. And I had no rest. And I was stressed, and my business was failing. The Big 49 was a great thing. It still exists. I still own a chunk of it, but it never made money. It was never a success financially. And so I was dealing with that at a job I hated, broke as F, and it all worked out. And God, but what's funny is there's a saying, when you careful what you pray for, you just may get it. It's not necessarily what God wants for you. It's not necessarily what you need. It's what you ask for, and you get it. And I got it. And I got what I asked for. But after that, from that day, is when I really kicked on my spiritual switch. That's where the podcast God Wants to Talk to You comes from. It's where my increased faith. I started going to church every single Sunday. I started reading the Bible. I started really taking my faith seriously at that point. To me, that was a godsend. And I'm incredibly grateful for everything. But then I got back to where I am now. And I'm at the job I have now, which I went home. I went home. I went back to my people. Went back to my family. And I'm grateful for that. But it's been a long road since radio for me to get to this point. But I still love radio. And so doing these podcasts is fun to me. I do this podcast and God Wants to Talk to You. And that's fun, and it's not stressing on me at all. I don't have to, like, in fact, if something happened and I didn't want to do it, I'm not doing a show today. It would be fine. And Jack and I had to stop the podcast with Jack so that I could do the radio, because I was doing that full time while I was doing LMU full time. And I still never left the job I have now. I did that part time the entire time. So it was a kick in the nuts, man. And watching my daughter walk across that stage, there was no sadness or overwhelmed with emotion. It was just relief. It was a monkey off of my back just to see that kid. Just, it's done. I'm done. I even told my wife, I'm like, I can die now. I'm good. I've served my purpose. That kid has graduated. And that is off my back. So the cherry on the cake, of course, is as, what was it? She started, second semester hadn't started yet. We were off on Christmas break. She was still home for Christmas break when the house burned down. So 2 days before. And LMU, shout out to them. They're great. And my old boss called me right after it happened and said, hey, how are you? And they arranged for my daughter to move on to campus. And they did that for free. We didn't have to pay any of that. And it was, you know, God bless them. That was great. But it's been a ride. It's been a hell of a 4 years. And I finally got to breathe last Saturday. I finally got to breathe. I finally got to just say, F, that monster is off my back. I literally mortgaged my life for 4 years. And in the meantime, wouldn't give up on my dreams because I was insistent on making the 49 work. And it was a mother effer. So I'm so grateful for the experience. I've come out the fire, tested by the fire. I've come out the fire the other side. My faith is stronger. It was a huge win. Been a great thing for me. And my daughter is... we found out on Tuesday when she got a report card that she carried a 4.0 for 4 years. So she held up her end of the deal, man. We got her into a hard school and she kicked ass and took names. Of course, now this is the funny part after I just tell you the craziness that was my life for the last 4 years. She's like, yeah, I'm going to go get my master's. I might go to law school. And here's the thing. She'll get in. She's got such great grades. She did so well. She'll get in anywhere she wants to go. I just don't know how she's going to pay for it because this fat man is done. It is over. Put a fork in the fat man. It's done. So we'll figure it out. I'm sure she'll figure it out. She's a very, very bright young lady. Let's get into a couple of fitness stories and we will talk about those. Number one is a interesting story. And I have often contemplated this myself when it comes to working out. Is it best to work out or eat before or after a workout? And it's like, well, is it, are you going to get cramps? Are you going to get upset stomach? Are you going to, or if you don't eat, are you going to run out of energy? All valid points. And the science says it doesn't effing matter. That's what the science says. They did this huge study on it and they go, best thing to do is whatever feels right to you. And it makes sense. What's your workout? That's the big thing. If you're going to go run 20 miles, yeah, you should probably eat before your workout. If you're going to go lift really heavy and intensely, you should probably eat before your workout. And then after you lift, you should probably eat again, because that's what I would always do. If I was powerlifting, I would eat a lot before. All healthy. You always be healthy in your choices, but it really just depends on what kind of exercise you're going to do and how your body works. No one knows your body better than you. So if for you, you feel like you get more energy, more pump out of eating, eat. There's no scientific difference in it, is what the article said, which was cool. All right, and then I have a story that is, I hate how, I guess, spineless and gutless reporters are. And this story basically was, they did this bunch of research and they did a study and they found out that bodybuilders, competitive bodybuilders, die of sudden cardiac death. They die at an astronomically high number. And here's what I hate about the article. I know why. You probably know why. This article never even treads that way. They never mention. They say there's a very high risk factor for male bodybuilders in their early 40s, tend to just drop dead from heart disease. And a lot of them have really bad blocking of the arteries. I have really bad blocking of my arteries. I can tell you taking testosterone gums up your blood and can gum up your arteries. That's why when you're taking it, you're taking blood thinners and all kinds of stuff. Steroids cause heart attacks. There's not a bodybuilder in the world that's not on steroids. You see these guys that are the size of Arnold Schwarzenegger and say they're natural. They're full of shit. They are not natural. They're on steroids. And steroids cause heart attacks. Here's another thing. If you're a 300-pound fat man, your heart's working overtime. If you're a 300-pound solid muscle man, your heart's working overtime. Because you got all that muscle, all that blood's got to pump, your heart's got so many beats in it. It doesn't matter if it's muscly or fat and lazy and lays on the couch. 300 pounds is 300 pounds no matter what when it comes to your heart. If you want to do something really good for your heart, lose weight. Eat healthy and lose weight. Drop from 300 down to like 180 and your heart will thank you and you will live a lot longer. So this story is just ridiculous. And the fact that these reporters never stand up, they never own it. They never say, well, you know, steroids run rampant, and they don't even address it. They just say astronomically high heart attack death rate for male bodybuilders. Yeah. I wonder why. You know, it's another thing that's weird. Female bodybuilders have giant clitorises that look like baby penises. Why is that? Oh, because they grow literally penises from taking steroids. Why do they have deep voices and sound like men? Steroids. My God. People need to call it like it is. Am I the only person in the world that calls it like it is? The media. Ugh. Like I love right now, speaking of media and not to be political, but Jake Tapper, the guy from CNN, is running around pushing a book talking about the big cover-up of Joe Biden and his mental state. And how the White House covered it up and they had no idea. And it's like, really? You had no idea? And then I saw a thing, who was it? Megyn Kelly had him on and absolutely destroyed him because people would come on a show and say, yeah, the president's not cognitively impaired. And then Jake Tapper would rip their head off and tell them they were full of it, that he's the best. And it's like, so now you go write a book for the lie that you perpetrated against the American people, the cover up that you helped. You're writing a book about it now and you're going to make money on this, you fraud? Everyone's a fraud. A fraud. Man. Yeah. And granted, I do think, now that we know Biden has cancer, which absolutely sucks, but that there are treatments for cancer and they call it like hormonal treatments. And if he take those, it gives you brain fog. It makes you seem like you have dementia or Alzheimer's. So there's a very good chance, I'm thinking, I'm not a doctor, I'm just an honest broker, that there's a chance he knew he had cancer a long time ago. They didn't want to tell the American people and freak him out because everybody thought he was too old to be president anyways, kind of like they do with Trump. And then when they didn't divulge, they were giving him those treatments, and that's when he started to really go off the rails mentally. It makes sense. I mean, 2 and 2 is 4, unless you do Common Core math. Then that's not the case. I couldn't tell you what 2 plus 2 is if we were doing Common Core. But in common sense world, all of that stacks up and makes sense. Also stacks up and makes sense that Jake Tapper is a full-on lying piece of shit who helped cover up something and now we know is capitalizing on the shock that he was lied to by the Biden administration. My God. If you think politicians tell the truth from any party, you are naive to say the least. Man. All right, I got to get out of here. You know why? Because it is Memorial weekend and I got to get my grill on. We have a grill here at the new place. I got to clean it up and get it rolling, but it's a big ass badass grill outside in the back. So maybe I will use that this weekend. I do have some beef ribs that I already bought today. And I'm excited about that. If I don't do, I may put them in a slow cooker and just be lazy, but sometimes I slow cook them and then throw them on the grill to finish them off to get that char on there. Woo, good stuff. Hope you guys have a great Memorial Day, and I will talk to you again next week. Probably not Monday. Monday's a holiday, so I'll probably do a Tuesday show. Get back at it with Fat to Fit or else. I'll see you.